podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. Oh, Ned, he laughed so hard it made me cry.
Hello and welcome to the Run Run Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is Chris, your host, and whenever and wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in today. Are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run. Hey, this is Chris. Welcome to episode 21 of the Run, Run, Live podcast. We're into more than a fifth of 100. 2 in 2 days, yeah. So today we're talking to Zale, my new friend Zale, who I actually met on the social networking site LinkedIn. I noticed that he was the guy who headmanned the marathon social group, so I joined up with that. And then we get to chatting, so I said, hey, come on the show. And he's got some interesting stuff to do. We're continuing with our Canadian theme because Zale's out of Toronto up there on the shores of beautiful Lake Ontario. Nice city. If you've never been up there, you should go. Very cosmopolitan. Great eats. Great place. What else is going on? Oh, this weekend, had a pretty good week. Ran about 12 or 13 on both Saturday and Sunday. And since those are relatively short runs for me, I really powered through them. And I was actually a little sore on Monday, and it was that good sore that you get from sort of racing and not the usual sore I get from running too long. So this weekend, though, we're going to run the Wapak Trail Race up in Ipswich, New Hampshire, and there's always room for more. It's 17 and a half miles out and back, very technical, runs like a marathon. So if you'd like to spend 3 or 4 hours in the woods with me, come on up. It's a lot of fun. And we can use volunteers, too, if you don't want to, if you just want to go for a hike. And that's in New Ipswich, New Hampshire, at the ski area up there, the windblown ski area. Just search for that, and that's where it'll start. We're going to kick off with one of the bumper girls singing a version of O Canada in French. And you got a you Québécois have to cut her some slack, she says, because she's only a first-year French student. So hope you enjoy that, and then we'll get on with the show.
O Canada in French. Oh, Canada, terre de nos aïeux, ton front de ceux des feux en glorieux, car ton bras sait porter le pire. Il sait porter la croix, ton histoire est une prière des plus brillantes étoiles. God keep our land glorious and free. Stand on guard for thee.
This episode of the Run, Run, Live podcast is sponsored by Tresemme, back hair products for men, a complete line of shampoos, conditioners, and coloring. Steve, how did you get those wonderful blonde highlights in your back hair? It simply sparkles in the sun.
Why indeed, Betsy? I'm using the unique Tresemme highlighting gel with oxyhydrazinol for shine and impact.
Oh, Steve. Tresemme, back hair products for men. Because no one else has thought of it yet.
And now for the equipment check.
Got a great tip for you, Internet folks. Half.com by eBay. Go to half.com. You can buy all your books on the cheap, and it's very predictable and very cool. So if you're a bibliophobe like me, you can get your books, and then you can turn around and sell them and do all the shipping through your PayPal account. It's wicked easy and really good.
Et maintenant, dans une entrevue exclusive.
Bon.
Oui.
All right. Now we're recording.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm laying in a hammock down in my house in Cape Cod, reading the magazine. So I'm very relaxed. So anyhow, we hooked up because I had joined your marathon group on LinkedIn.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
And explain to me how LinkedIn works and how you get the marathon group on there and what you're doing in terms of the marathoning and the running. Give me the 20 words or less on what you're doing, man.
20 words or less?
Yeah.
I teach America up here in Canada. I'm up here in Toronto, We have a chain of stores called The Running Room. And
The Running Room
has clinics for people, and I teach a marathon clinic there. And, you know, I make about $0 per hour doing it. It's just a fun way of doing it. I'm a back-of-the-pack marathon runner. I just do it for fun, and so that's what happens. So now LinkedIn is the way I want to connect up with people to do business. And, you know, my goal in life is to teach people how to become successful. And what I've done on LinkedIn is just created a number of groups that reflect my personal interests so that I can connect up with people on LinkedIn that I have something in common with. And I'm into marathon running, so I created a marathon group, and then I just promote the heck out of it so everybody can connect with other marathoners.
How many people?
And the goal of the group is, there's a lot of goals, but one of the particular goals is if you're a marathon runner and you happen to be in Cape Cod and you happen to be in a business meeting in San Francisco and you don't know the routes, obviously, and you want to connect up with somebody, you can go through the LinkedIn group, search San Francisco, and find a couple of marathoners and say, hey, I'm coming to San Francisco. Can I run with you? Can you suggest a couple of routes? Blah, blah, blah. And that was like the simplest approach to the whole thing.
It's just the power of the Internet, right? It's that global community, finding people who are interested in the same things you are, but they may be on the other side of the planet.
That's exactly right. And it's, you know, but it's like anything you do, you know, you throw something up against the wall and all sorts of weird and wonderful things happen. I get emails from people telling me their marathon histories. A while back I posted on LinkedIn LinkedIn questions. I have to understand that I use LinkedIn every single day for hours. And this is my way of connecting with people who are either potential customers, joint venture partners, or just new friends.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's my method of getting out there. I'm a tremendous networker. I love networking. I love connecting with people. And again, my goal in life is to help people become successful. So it's a great way of connecting with people. Anyway, so LinkedIn Answers, I put up a question, you know, what do you get out of marathon running? And it's an amazing number of stories that you get from people. I've had people who've written to me that have had new hearts put in. I've had,
yep.
You know, just unbelievable how marathon running marathon running have changed their lives. And these are people, these are like, you know, probably most of them are back of the pack people like me, right? You know, they're happy to finish the thing. But it's as opposed to elite guys who are, you know, guys like you who are doing Boston, you know, I'm hoping by the time I hit 90 that I'll be able to be fast enough to get into Boston, you know, because as you get older, the qualifying times get longer. So I figure that eventually my age and the qualifying times will meet.
Yeah, you know, I that kind of cracks me up that you would think of me as an elite. You know, I think the mid-pack's pretty broad, right?
Yeah, okay,
pretty
but, you know,
broad.
So it's kind of interesting. I teach this clinic, and, you know, last year I had a whole bunch of newbies, you know, people who'd never run before, and I was like, oh, my God, and they were just like, you know, I'm just like the world's greatest runner, right? And then
right.
This year, the same clinic is filled with these guys who are all, you know, around 3 hours, 3.5 hours, and I'm like this old fat guy. So it's like,
yeah.
You know, you just can't win.
I said it's all relative. I had a friend of mine, one of the guys I run with, he used to say, the thing about running races is there's only one winner, and the rest of you are losers.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
they're all in the same boat.
Yeah, and it's just a nice thing. So, and one of the other things I did with, you know, you back to LinkedIn is I also wrote an article. I'm a firm believer that all the things that make for a successful marathon runner, and a successful marathon runner is just somebody who says they're going to do it and actually completes it and does more than one or two of them, is the same thing that helps people become successful in business.
Yeah,
you know,
you're right.
To be a good marathon runner, you know, I don't care if you're an old fat guy like me or an elite runner like you, you have to have a goal. You have to be very clear about the goal. You have to have a deadline of the goal, which is obviously the race. You have to have a plan to get you there. You need an infrastructure of people to help you get to that goal, right, which is, you know, when you think of what it takes to run a marathon, it's not you running, right? It's got all those people who are volunteering, all those people who are putting out the water things. You have, you know, all the companies that manufacture the clothes, the people who, the thousands and thousands of volunteers who actually never run, who actually physically create the place. You know, you have the city that gives up their street, you know, totally affect. You got all those drivers who can no longer take their normal route on that Sunday. You know,
sure.
It's unbelievable what it takes even for the most trivial, small, you know, trivial being the smallest marathon you can imagine. The infrastructure and what it takes to make it all happen.
Well, it's funny. If you go out to my podcast out on iTunes, there's an episode called Marathon Metaphors, which is actually a speech I gave, which says the exact same thing, basically, right? It's saying the exact same thing. It's like, you know, this is not about running or finishing a race. It's about, you know, how you can use what you learn from that discipline in life to be successful, right?
Yeah.
And there's so many very, very strong and emotional parallels to business from training for a marathon or training for any event. That it's worth taking a look at. So you're absolutely right. We're on the same wavelength there.
Okay. Well, you know what they say about great minds, right?
Yeah, that's right. Great minds think alike. Yeah.
But they also say fools seldom differ. So I don't know. I always like to to balance it.
Well, interestingly enough, I got into podcasting not from running, but I was listening to a lot of internet marketing and PR and marketing podcasts. And I said, "Oh, I should do one about running." It never occurred to me that there were already 50 people doing it, right?
that's right. Yeah, but I think you just do it the best, the absolute best.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
What's your goal? Like, do you have a goal for these podcasts?
Yeah, I want to. Actually, my goal is fairly altruistic here. I want to create a bunch of new runners, right? I want people, because the way I learned, I learned how to run in high school, but the way I learned how to enjoy the sport and the way I matured on it was through the local running clubs and the local scene and talking to the people who've been doing it for years. And so I figured I'd give that same advantage to, you know, a broader audience, right? Because I know all these cool people in the sport, I can bring them to a broader audience, right? So people can get that advantage that I had without having to, you know, suit up and go down to the local running club every morning.
Right. Well, let me tell you. Can I tell you a little bit about what we do here and how I got connected into it? First of all, my story is really simple. I had a girl who I was dating, was a runner, a marathon runner, and so to get in good with her, I just started running. I used to be actually a rollerblader. I used to rollerblade all the time.
Right.
So just getting good with her, I started running, and then what happened was I started running longer distances and was doing my own thing and doing it absolutely, totally, completely wrong. You know, well, I know better than everybody else kind of mentality. And then the running room, they got caught short of a leader for their clinic.
So let me
just back up one second, just give some context here. The running room has 80 stores across the country. Right across Canada. They've got a couple in the States, in the Midwest. And what they've done is they have running, what they call running clinics. And the person pays like $69 for the clinic, and they get a shirt, and then they get effectively a volunteer like me who's an instructor, and we bring in local people from the community to come in and give a speech. So they come, they get a run, they get a speech, and then there's two organized runs, and they're given a schedule when they should run elsewhere. And the running room starts with their very basic clinic, right? This is a pitch for the running room, but it's just such a wonderful place. I'm sure there's other places outside of Canada that does it. They have a learn to run class where it's, you know, one, they do one and one, one minute. We start with 2 minute walking, 1 minute running, 2 minute walking, and then they do six of those, and then they eventually progress. And, you know, the end of that is a 5K. And then they have a 5K clinic, right? And then they do a 10K clinic, then do a half marathon clinic, and they do a full marathon clinic. So anyway, they need an instructor for the full marathon clinic. I did that, and I had such a wonderful time doing it that I said, you know what, I'm going to take somebody from learn to run all the way through to the full marathon clinic, because it cycles. One, you know, and all the clinics are running in parallel, but over a period of a year, you could do all the clinics. So I started with the learn to run, and I had people, and I took them all the way up to the half marathon clinic. The jump from the 10K to the full marathon clinic was just too much for them. So this September, I'm going to start all over again with a learn to run group, and I think, but I'm going to next year just do the half marathon clinic with them.
Yeah, it probably takes a good 2 or 3 years to get in marathon shape. You know,
right. You know what I always tell people? The person who walks across that line gets the same medal as the number six person that crosses the line.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'm just saying in terms of your, I think your tissue, you know, your bones and your joints and stuff, it takes
For sure. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, when I talk about, you know, the expectations of this first time across that, you know, we're talking 5-6 hour marathons. We're not talking,
right,
you know, 3 hour marathons.
Also,
the running room does I don't know if this is common elsewhere, but the running room teaches a 10-in-1 system where you run for 10 minutes, and then you walk for a minute, run for 10, walk for a minute.
Sure. There's a lot of different versions of that walk run plan. And, it's, you know, you gotta, it comes down to the individual, right?
Right, yeah. That's how they get them up to the point of doing the marathon. And then people start dropping the 10-in-1s. Like when I do a half, I don't do 10-in-1s. I just do it nonstop. And then when I do a full marathon, I'll do a 10-in-1 in the second part of it.
Yeah, I actually do a five and two still. Even when I'm running a three whatever marathon, I'm running 5 miles and walking for 2 minutes. I still took a walk break then, and I found that it just prevents me from having to do the death shuffle at the end.
Right.
And it's like preemptive, you know. Even if I'm running for a time and I'm running really fast, I'll still throw some early walk breaks in, because it just breaks things up. And even with my PRs, my PR in the marathon, I even had some walk breaks in it. So
your PR, your PR?
Huh?
Oh, your personal, we call them PBs, personal best.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so when
I was going there, PRs, what the hell is a PR? You do a press release in the middle of your run?
Well, if I ever run that fast again, I will do a press release. But I can remember walking in those races just to take a little change in speed somewhere during the race.
Since I'm up here in Toronto, I want to promote a couple of our Toronto runs. So I do what's called, we have a whole bunch of runs up here in Toronto in Canada. So in the spring, we have one that's called the Mississauga Marathon, which is in the west. Mississauga is just a suburb of Toronto, and
I've been in Mississauga many times.
Okay.
That's where the airport is.
Right, right. So it doesn't actually start near the airport, but it starts in maybe square one, which is a little farther south, and then runs right down to the lake, and then they bus you back to the start front. But what's kind of neat is that Mississauga Marathon is about 2 weeks before the Ottawa Marathon, which isn't even in Toronto, but it's the most beautiful marathon you could possibly imagine. It runs all along the canal in Ottawa, a totally flat route. So what people do, or what I do, and I think everybody in the world should do what I do, because otherwise why would I do it, right? I use the Mississauga Marathon as like a preliminary run, so I do the half there, and it's just one of my long runs just before my full marathon, which would be the Ottawa. And then in the fall, we have the same thing going on. We have a thing called the Scotia Waterfront.
Yeah, Scotiabank. I wrote a couple of articles for that guy for Cool Running.
Okay. So it runs all the way along it's a absolutely completely flat run. I think it's got one hill in it that's maybe 50 feet high, and it's a long sloping hill on a highway. So it's like you don't even notice it. And 4% grade or something. Anyways, and it's a long flat. But it's 2 weeks before the Toronto Marathon, which runs all the way around, you know, pretty much through most of downtown Toronto. It starts at the north end of the city and then goes right down and ends up at the legislature buildings, which are right downtown. So it's a really nice run through basically, you know, the core of Toronto.
Toronto's a great city to run in. I used to have an office, or I used to work out of an office up in the financial district up there. And I can remember going out and just getting lost in Toronto, and ended up finishing my run coming down Yonge Street in that long, you know, casual downhill. And just flying down there towards the waterfront. And then also down by the waterfront where you have that, you know, that bike path that goes forever down by the waterfront.
Yeah, that one's about 30 miles long from one end to the other end.
Yep, it's beautiful running in the morning. So, and Toronto's a great little city.
Yeah, and there's a lot of I don't actually run on streets. I hate running on streets. So where I run, I have a whole bunch of paths. In the wintertime, obviously, we don't do this, but because Toronto has, you know, unlike Cape Cod, we got like snow and stuff like that. But there's paths, there's city paths. There's a we have a path that I run that runs from, again, north end of the city right down to the south, and it's all through. It's a paved path, but it's all through bush. It runs right along the river. We have this Don River, and it runs right along. You see people fishing and bicycling and rollerblading, and it's just Sunday runs are just unbelievable there. It's just so beautiful, and it's just one path after another, and they just all connect. So it's just beautiful. So you get the cool air because of all the forest around you, and you know, it's just beautiful. Anyway, so the last run I want to tell you about up here in Canada is in Markham, which is a little farther north. And it's about it's very small. It's only a half marathon. It's about 3,000 people. And I'm actually wearing the T-shirt right today. And I can't. It's through all sorts of farmland. And it's called the Angus Glen Run, right? And the Angus Glen actually happens to be one of the premier golf and country clubs in Canada. There's a thing called the Canadian Open, and Angus Glen, every second year is at Angus Glen. And so the first 300 people that register for the Angus Glen run get lockers with all these famous golfers. Now, I'm not a golfer, so to me it means absolutely nothing. But to people who are golfers, it's like a big, important, nice feel. So if you're a runner and a golfer, the Angus Glen is the one for you. And the kitchen in the Angus Glen just goes all out for the food afterwards. I think people just show up for the food sometimes. It's just unbelievable spread what they put out there. And
do you run on the golf course?
No, you don't run on the golf course. You just run. You run from the country club out through the road, and then you run in the whole area. Now it's a half marathon, and the other thing is it's very, very hilly. Lots of hills.
Nothing wrong with hills.
Sorry?
Nothing wrong with hills.
No, nothing wrong. I love hills, actually. I do almost a lot of my training just on hills because I just love hills. Because once you learn how to do a hill, the hill becomes your friend, right? And you see all these other people just struggling, and you're whipping up the hill, and it's like, oh yeah, no problem.
You know, that's another great example of just sort of mental attitude, right? The biggest problem most people have with hills is they just have a negative attitude about them, and so you can see their whole body posture changes as they go into the hill, and they start doing this sort of hill shuffle.
Yeah.
It's almost all mental, right? So if instead you say, oh, great, here comes another hill, and loosen up and run it, you know, in a nice hill form, you're gonna all of a sudden be the hill king, right?
That's right. Well, we have a guy who I get to talk at our clinics, and the guy's in his 60s, and you know, I always make the joke, this is what I point to myself and say, this is what a 60-year-old guy looks like, and I point to him and say, this is what a 35-year-old guy looks like. So I happen to be 50.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just unbelievable. And he just says, oh yeah, hills are great. And he says it's all about hill form, right? And you know, he's in his 60s and he's running with guys in his 30s, and he says, I, you know, they always do a little faster up the hill, but after the hill he just catches up to them like no problem, because they just burn themselves up. They just you know, don't know how to do it right.
Yeah, and people don't realize that I bet you have this with new runners, is there's a different pace for uphill and for downhill, and for the length of the hill and the steepness of the hill, it's all different form.
Yeah.
So if you can, it's running is quite tactical, I guess, in a way. yeah. when you look at the different topographies.
Right. But what do you do for my biggest challenge is like my legs cramp up around 30K. Like there's freeze. I've been taking some stuff up here called Eload, which seems to help it a lot, but I just have to just basically dump the stuff into my body.
I've never had that problem, but that's what I've heard is that people, I've heard that's an electrolyte thing. It's your calf muscles, right?
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah.
And I've heard people take those, or they take Endurolite stuff from Hammer Nutrition. But I've never had a problem with high mileage cramping, so I don't have any personal experience with it.
How old are you, can I ask?
I'm 40. I'm going to be 47 in 2 months.
Okay. How long have you been running?
I actually started running in high school. I was I was running on the cross country team in high school. I wasn't any good. I only ran in cross country because I was trying to get in shape for the wrestling team.
Okay.
So it was a 5-person team, and I was the 5th person because they needed another person for the scoring.
all right. But you were a jock then in high school.
Yeah, well, no, I wasn't. We had mandatory sports, so I had to do something.
Okay. Oh, I see.
I went to prep school, prep school down here, which, what would they call that in England? Public school.
Right. In Canada, they call prep school or private school. Here we call them private school.
Private school, yeah. So there was mandatory athletics, and I was
Was it like you and Donald Trump, was it one of the military schools?
No, it wasn't. It was just a regular preparatory school.
Okay.
And great school. I learned more in high school than I did in all my college degrees, I think.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm all for the private school system if you can afford it.
Yeah.
But then after I got out of high school, I didn't run again until I was 30. Until I was 29, 30, I picked it up. I started from scratch. And I remember the first day running a half a mile. And, a week I ran a half a mile 3 times that week, and then the next week I ran, a mile or whatever it was, right? And then, 6-7 years later, I'm qualifying for Boston, right?
That's amazing. And you keep qualifying every year now.
Yeah. Well, I took a couple years off because, there's a cycle, right? When you're an amateur runner and you get really into it, you're guaranteed to hurt yourself.
Okay.
Because your body can only go so far so fast.
And
you keep setting higher and higher goals. And I did that, and I blew out an Achilles, and I had some knee problems. So now I'm in the maturity phase of my running, which is I can still, do a lot of stuff, but I keep it at about an 85% pressure, both mentally and physically, so I can accomplish my goals and not hurt myself, right?
Yeah. I'm big on honoring myself. It's not worth it, because you lose months and months and months of something you really like just because you're trying to do, an extra couple of seconds.
Yeah, and it's mental too, right? You hold yourself to unmeetable goals, and you keep raising your goals, and eventually something's got to break, right? Either mentally or physically. So, I think that's a normal new runner curve, and that's something you should talk to your new runners about in your programs. Is the ones who catch the bug, that line has to trend down at some point.
Unbelievable. I was telling these guys, the running room has like a whole schedule. And as part of our leadership thing, we publish the schedule. It says, you want to do a 3.5 hour marathon, let's say, which that's roughly the Boston qualifying for people in our sort of age group. And it says, on a long run, you do, between 6 and 7 minutes per kilometer. We do everything in kilometers here, but 6 to 7 minutes per kilometer. Or whatever it is for that, and then only you do your fartleks at this rate, and you do your hills at this rate, and this is how many kilometers you got to do, right? So we publish this, and this schedule is a 16-week schedule to get you from A to Z, right?
Right.
And if you just follow it, you'll do it, and it slowly mounts. They use the concept of a house. You want to build a strong foundation, which is you're just getting your long distance in, right? And then just build it.
Yeah, so you roughly have 3 phases, and within the phases you have 3-week waves, and you build up your mileage, and then you do your speed, and then you do your tempo.
Right, exactly. But, you know, we get these guys who, they all, you know, and like, it kills me, right? The Running Room runs 80 stores. I keep promoting, I just love the Running Room, because the guy who runs it is a good guy, the store is a good guy, you know, it's a nice system with the way they run the whole thing. Anyway, so they do 80 stores, they do, you know, every store is running 4 marathon clinics probably a year, 3 or 4 marathon, yeah, I think it's 4 marathon clinics a year, so it's 320 clinics, and then they have, you know, 8 to 25 people in each clinic. They had every year thousands and thousands of people following the system, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You get people who are in the clinic who says, oh, I know better than you guys,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Give me a break. You know, just and you know what happens is every one of those guys who didn't listen to me got hurt.
Right.
And not listening to me, and all I was saying was follow the structure, follow the system.
Yeah.
Oh no, we're gonna push a little harder, we're gonna just do this, we're gonna do that.
Yeah,
and they all got hurt.
That's a typical guy, compulsive guy thing.
Don't even the women. I had these women. I'm sorry. I know what you're saying, but there was a bunch of women. I had a bunch of women, they were all you know, the guys working in drugstores that do the prescriptions, druggists, but they're,
yeah,
the name for them. All highly educated, intelligent, nice, wonderful people, but man, they just kept pushing and pushing. Anyway.
Hey, we're coming up on our 25 minutes. Can you believe it?
That was great.
We're gonna have to talk some more at some point. I'm fascinated with this whole connection between the networking and the running store and all that stuff.
Yeah, we haven't even touched on that kind of stuff. But yeah, and you know, cross training. One of the things I have an investment in a gym. But it's,
yeah,
I don't know, you've probably heard of it, Curves, right? For women.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, for women. Yeah.
So I have one of those. So I'm trying to promote the women runners that go to Curves, right?
Unbelievable.
30-minute cross training. Unbelievable. It does all the core training. You know, we didn't talk about core training, right? We didn't talk about stretching.
Yeah.
You know, so many areas. But anyway, that's just another thing that's involved in all this stuff.
All right. Well, thank you so much for talking to me today.
All right. That was great. Any of your members want to connect up with me on LinkedIn, you can find me, Zale, Z-A-L-E. My last name is Tabakman, T-A-B-A-K-M-A-N. And they should just, you know, connect up with me and find my marathoners group and join, and hopefully they'll be able to find somebody to run with in whatever city they're going to.
What's the email address?
Zale, Z-A-L-E, at zaletabakman.ca.
All right.
Z-A-L-E-T-A-B-A-K-M-A-N.
All right, man. Good talking to you.
.ca.
Okay.
All right? Take care now.
We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Here's today's quick tips.
Hey, this is Chris. I got a tip for you. Let's talk about pace charts. You know, you can go on to runnersworld.com, or you can go to, or they hand them out in the packets too, but you can go on to Cool Running and you can get a pace chart. And the pace chart's going to tell you mile by mile, kilometer by kilometer, what your split should be as you're running in the half marathon or marathon or 10K or whatever you're running. So, for example, say if you want to run a 3:15 marathon, you got to run 7:11s or something, and it'll pace those out for you. The problem is you got to carry it with you. I tried writing the splits on the back of my number once. That didn't work real well because you can't read it while you're wearing it. I tried writing it on my arm in marker. That didn't work real well either because it sort of wore off. I tried laminating it on a piece of paper and taking it and safety pinning it to my shirt. Again, it didn't work real well. The best thing that I found was actually just to carry a little laminated split list with me and sort of tuck it under my watch band or into one of my pockets. And that worked out best for me because then I could take it out and look at it. Because you get in the high miles of a marathon, you're not real good at doing math. So sometimes it helps, especially if you're shooting for an odd time where you have to run 7:23 miles or something. It's kind of hard to do that math in your head in the high miles when you really need it to know whether you're on track or not. All right, so that's my tip. We'll talk to you soon. That's it, folks. That's episode 21 in the can. So that's it, man. I'm going to leave you some music from a group that's from St. John's, Newfoundland. And that's way up on the right-hand side of your map of North America, way up there on the upper right-hand side, St. John's, Newfoundland, part of Canada, colloquially known as Newfies to the rest of Canada, great folk, and the group is called Great Big Sea, and this is a Celtic pop tune, Celtic pop tune called French Perfume. I'll see you next week.
Saw the jail. He filled her up with contraband, perfume, smokes, and rum. He hoped the fog was thick enough to make another run. You can still see the sight on a winter's night of his wake in the light of moon. If the wind turns right and you don't take fright, you can smell that French perfume. As he crawled up Mortar Bay, and when they hit the spotlight, it was like the light of day. He didn't bring her head round when they told him to heave to. He opened up the engines and he ran for Spanish Moon. You can still see the sight on a winter's night of his wake in the light of moon. If the wind turns right and you don't take fright, smell that French perfume. Heard him laughing with the Mounties closing in, his engine screaming murder and his face set in a grin. The seagull started lifting like an angry banshee choir. He hit the rocks at 50 clicks and the sky lit up with fire. Smuggler, from fortune he did sail. He rode the waves from St. Pierre and he never saw the jail. And when it's cold and foggy on the rocks near Spanish Room, they say you hear him laughing and you smell that French perfume. You can still see the sight on a winter's night of his wake in the light of moon. If the wind turns right and you don't take fright, you can smell that French perfume. Still see the sight on a winter's night of his wake in the light of the moon. If the wind turns right and you don't take fright, you can smell that French perfume. You can smell that French perfume.
Thanks for listening to the Run Run Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show, or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line, and I will see you out there.
Run, run, live. The podcast for all your running needs.